I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You are listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Shore. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Shore, it won't let you down.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the GAR, brought to you by Shore 72-hour protection. I'm delighted to say that I am joined by PwC Player of the Month, Dara Canavan, as we talk about his wonderful season, Tyrone's future, and a certain younger sibling. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey Dara, how's it going? You've had a full day in media. Are you sick of us yet?
No, it's not too bad. It has to be done too, so.
No, that's good, good. This will be the best one anyway, so you don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's good.
I actually had your brother on the show a couple of months ago, I think. And it ended up being one of the top performing podcasts of the whole year, numbers wise. So there's already another rivalry for you, but there seems to be a genuine interest and curiosity around the Canavan brothers. Like, have you found that, or and where do you think that is?
Hard to know. Don't really listen to too much outside it noise now, to be honest about, you know, really or daddy or any comparisons like that. So we just go out and kick a bit of ball, so we're happy enough that way. Like,
no, of course, and we're happy to watch you. I heard sort of like a story. I suppose it's not really a story; it's more of a narrative. And I want you to tell me: is there any truth in it? Even I heard that when you started out, like going through Ardle Kieran underage and things like that, you were actually not really so much in the limelight, and you preferred to pass the ball and sort of stay away from that kind of thing. And then someone told you that actually, you know, you need to be the one going for the jugular yourself. Is there any truth in that at all, or is that just a story that's been spun about?
If you were to ask some of my underage teammates, they'd probably say I was fairly selfish. Didn't pass them a ball enough. Look, it's something I've always sort of done, is just try to get other boys into the game, and if it means winning, then you're more than happy to do it. Like, but I can't really remember. I suppose different managers have said, you know, you need to be a wee bit more selfish at times, but I wouldn't consciously go out and pass the ball instead of going for a moon shot. Just happens sometimes. Like,
Of course. Your development would have been unusual anyway, just, you know, being who you are. There's just no getting away from the fact that you would have received a lot of attention from opposition markers and being man marked and stuff. What would you say is the go-to line that a defender would throw at you that you're just sick of now at this stage?
They don't really give me that much abuse, to be honest. The odd way, mate, just if you're having an off day, just you're not in it, get yourself in it, you're having a stinker, stuff like that. Like, but there's never anything too personal now, to be fair. So not that it really would affect me that much anyway. I think it's good. Like, it makes it a wee bit more enjoyable if it's a slow game. So I guess it's nothing really too personal now, to be brutally honest.
No, well, with Stevie O'Neill on the show actually a couple of weeks ago, and he says he really enjoys watching you and Rory play for the simple fact that you play with a smile on your face. He said that you remind him of Ronaldinho just for that reason. So there's a comparison you probably never thought you were going to. Yeah. But even with that though, the smile on your face, the, you know, celebrating the scores, you do seem to chat to like teammates and to opposition and things, maybe let them know that, you know, that ball went over the bar and stuff. Is that something you've always done?
Probably is. Sometimes you watch it back and cringe a wee bit at different fist bumps and stuff, but I suppose when you're in the heat of the moment, this, it just sort of happens. Like, but I guess it's just part of the game, part of the way I play, I suppose, me and Ray. So we do enjoy playing the games like that. So it sort of just happens. And sometimes you do cringe after games, but so be it. It's only a game.
No, that's it, of course. You broke under the county scene under Mickey Hart, but you only really got one proper season with him. What was that experience like, really, obviously playing under someone who had managed your dad and been in charge of Tyrone for so long?
Okay, well, obviously, Mickey's a legend up here, in and around the club, on the county and everywhere else. So it was special for me to be able to play under him and gain a bit of experience of, you know, being part just of a really good top setup. So yeah, I enjoyed it. But it's I think it was the COVID year. It was my first proper year. So it was sort of hard, but it was definitely enjoyable. It's something I'll always cherish.
Mm-hmm. And then Burgo Logan and Brian Duer obviously came in the following year. That year for you was sort of plagued with injuries. Obviously then you came back and you had a huge impact off the bench in the All-Ireland semi-final and final. But what was the injury, first of all?
Ankles. Wild ball with my ankles that year.
Both of them?
Yeah. It was both of them, but it was a tough enough year. So it was.
Yeah, well, you managed to come back, obviously, like I said, and you had that impact in the semi-final and in the final, and you're an All-Ireland champion. I mean, what's it like? Because obviously that's the ultimate dream, that's the goal. But you achieved it, what, in like your second season? You know, you probably a lot sooner than you maybe expected. What's it like to say that you have one in the pocket already?
Oh, yeah, obviously it's nice, but it just makes you want, you know, the celebrations and stuff, just the feeling on the pitch after, it makes you want to do it every year. And it makes losing that much tougher, I suppose, whenever you don't get that feeling. But it's definitely nice to have, you know, the Celtic Cross at home here. So it's something that, again, you'll never forget, and just really thankful to be part of that team. It was a really special team and a special year. So definitely something I'm really, really grateful for.
Mm-hmm. And it's no secret that the following year was a lot more disappointing in a Tyrone perspective. There's lots of stuff on the outside, people saying there was fallout, you know, some people had left the camp, but all of that's just really hearsay. From your perspective, from someone, you know, who's obviously involved in the team that year, where do you think went wrong in 2022?
It's hard to know, I suppose. Just, I don't know, there might have been a certain bit of us just expecting it to be the same, and not dealing with having the target in our back as well as what, you know, we probably should have. But as it is, it's always tough going back to back anyway, but we're definitely very disappointed with how that year went. So it's hard to put a finger on it, like, but it's just, I suppose, we didn't deal with other teams gunning for us. You know, normally it was always us, well, the year before, definitely it was always us really the underdogs and trying to get at them and causing an upset, but we just didn't deal with having the target on our back as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, this year you personally reached a whole new level. In fact, that's why you're on the podcast. You're the PwC Player of the Month. Congratulations again. apart from actually having an injury-free year, because that probably played a part, this is probably your first full season, you know, no injuries or setbacks like that. What else changed this year that brought you to that new level?
I would just say, really, to be honest, you know, you touched on it, but having a string of games, you know, without having any real injuries, definitely makes a big difference. You know, felt a lot more comfortable and able to get up the pace of the game a bit easier this year, and just having the confidence to get myself in position to shoot and different things that I hadn't been able to do previous years. So between getting a string of games this year and with Errigal in the championship last year, definitely, you know, it's probably a confidence thing more than anything, just knowing that you have no real injuries and you can just go out and express yourself.
Well, on to the season then. We already mentioned a personal point of view, it went brilliantly for yourself, but it was sort of up and down for Tyrone, and then probably the ending against Kerry was disappointing. What do you think went wrong in that game in particular?
Again, it's hard to know. Well, we were completely outplayed and outworked by Kerry, to be honest. So you can't. We had no complaints about getting beat because we knew that we just didn't show up. You know, different ones have said maybe the three games in 3 weeks played us apart, but then you look at Monaghan and how they were able to cope with it. So it's hard to know, but I think we just lost to the better team on the day. We didn't show up the way we wanted to, and it was very disappointing that way. But you know, Kerry are quality side too, like, so we were disappointed with ourselves, but again, we had no complaints.
I assume you watched the All-Ireland semi-final between Derry and Kerry. And even just seeing Derry, the way they, I don't know, took the game to Kerry and played on the front foot, and were they, you know, they felt like the aggressors. Did Jerome just fail to do that, or was that not the plan? Did you watch that and think, we could have done more?
I was just sort of watching it half jealous, to be honest, wishing it was us playing Derry. But we definitely went to go at them, but I think, you know, Kerry were really set up, really well set up, sorry, and they were hard to break down. We just struggled. We kept making silly mistakes, especially in the second half. I thought we stuck with them pretty decent in the first half, but second half we just, you know, we kept making silly mistakes and weren't clipping over scores, and it felt like every time they were going up the pitch, they were getting, you know, the points far easier. So that's hard to know, but again, Derry is a serious team too, and I think they'll be kicking themselves that they didn't actually beat Kerry. But I suppose you need to take learnings from it too, and you know, hopefully we can take a bit of learning from it.
There's still a little bit of doubt around the Tyrone team going into the following season, and you're gonna hate me for asking this, but I have to ask. It's just is Brendan here for Galogan? Are they staying on? Do you know? Do the team know, or is it?
Oh well, we don't know. Genuinely don't know. What Fergal and Brian had done the first year was unbelievable. And at the end of the day, you know, we go out there trying to execute a game plan that they set out for us, and we didn't do it. So they'll always have the backing of the players, the great servants to Tyrone, as you know, like. So they'll always have our backing. And if they want to come back and do another few years, we'd be more than happy to have them. But I genuinely don't know, to be honest.
No. I figured that as much, but I'd be crucified if I didn't ask. On this season as well, you came up against a lot of, you got a lot more attention this year, especially when Darren McCurry got injured. Then you would have been targeted down as, you know, the danger man for Tyrone. And we talked a little about how it doesn't really bother you, you know, being singled out like that. But if anything, it seemed to brought you onto the new level. And you didn't seem to struggle in any of the games, but What game was the toughest? Like, did you think, like, who's the toughest marker you've ever came up against?
Well, probably this year, Tom O'Sullivan, I think, caused me all sorts of bother. I just couldn't get into the game at all, and trying to stop him from going up and getting scores, because he's good at that too. Was this year definitely, you know, the one game that I really struggled at in Galway, probably. You know, between the two cornerbacks there. So it's just probably between Kerry and Galway were the two teams that struggle with it most.
And Tom Sullivan is a strange situation, because obviously he loves to bomb forward so much and he's such a threat at scoring. Like, do you have to track him every single time, or do you gamble and let him go sometimes and hopefully, you know, catch him? Like, what's it like?
It's a fine line. Yeah, it's hard to know because the chances are the one time that you do try to cheat and pass him off, maybe he's going to go up and kick a point from 45 yards out. So you'd rather not take that chance, to be honest. But he's a quality footballer, so it's never easy marking players of that caliber.
Yeah, and here under the club season now, you're back with Errol Kieran. How have you found that, just coming back into the club season?
Oh, it was good to get back into it, to be honest. We've only played one league game since we come back, but it's just good getting back in with your club mates, you know, boys you played with your whole life. So I'm really enjoying it at the minute. It'll just be club championship isn't for another while, so it'll be good getting rattled into it again, but it's never easy winning up here, so.
No, it's not. That was my next question, because I don't think any team in Tyrone have won two county championships in a row. Jeez, it's well over a decade anyway. So that's your challenge this year. You've got the opportunity to do it with Eric Kieran. Well, first of all, why do you think it is like that in Tyrone? Because it's not like the other counties aren't competitive. Is Tyrone just more competitive? What's the difference?
Well, yeah, for one, there's, you know, any team in Division 1 could win the championship on their day. But I think it being state knockout too, you know, a lot of championships, club championships seem to be do a bit of a round robin or something first. Thrones is just straight knockout, so it's, if you don't show up, no matter how good a team you are, any team could beat you. So it's tough that way, but again, it's just enjoyable. It's what you look forward to.
That's actually interesting. So you think it's the setup, like the format? Because in Derry, you're right, and Down as well, they all have like group stage sort of things and two or three backdoors, nearly qualifiers and all the rest of it. But Tyrone's just traditional old school, so it's about being like, you know, if you're undercooked, overcooked, anything, get anything wrong on the first day, you're gone.
Exactly. Well, that, and it's definitely the quality of teams too. It's ridiculously even. In Tyrone, there's any number of teams could win it. So it's just, if you don't show up, you're going to be put out of the championship, and then it's a long 12 months. So it's making sure that you're good to go. But I think it's just a really, really tough championship to win.
And then you obviously have a great bond with the Tyrone lads all year long, and then you're thrust into this county championship, this club championship, and you're up against them suddenly, you know. What's it like coming up against the boys? Because there was a great battle between yourself and, I think it was Michael McKiernan a couple of years ago. There was loads of photos of you smiling and all during it, although I'm sure it wasn't all pleasantries. do you just leave everything at the door and go hell for leather, or what's it like?
You sort of just have to just forget about, you know, you're not part of the Tyrone team whenever you're playing against them. It's a completely different team, and you're trying to do your best and whatever it takes to win where I go. It's not hard to forget that they're not your teammates when you're playing against them, especially McKiernan. But it is enjoyable. Any time you get playing championship football, you just have to enjoy it and get on with it, and take it all in. So
Your brother obviously made his breakthrough for everyone to see in the club season last year, and then this year with the county championship. What's it like finally getting to play alongside him? Because I asked him this question, but playing with you, and he was saying he didn't really get much of a crossover at underage. This really is sort of the first time. So what's that been like?
No, he's just, you know, it's plain to see that he's a good player now, to be fair to him. He makes my job a lot easier, and the boys that the other boys in the pitch makes their job a lot easier. So you can only enjoy it. Whenever you're getting the chance to play with a player like him, as long as we win, I don't really care. Just as long as we win.
There was a moment now. Well, it's good that you said we'll be friends, because there was a moment against Donegal. I think you took the point, and he was maybe free on goal. And was there words after that?
He definitely reminded me of it before, but as a bit of crack, I reminded him that he'd kicked three or four wides before that, so there wasn't a chance he was getting the ball at that stage. But it's good to have a laugh about these things too, and it's, you know, they're never going to be taken to heart, and it's only a wee bit of slagging, so No, it's yeah, pretty fun.
No, definitely. And like he nearly even has it harder because you sometimes have to deal, obviously, comparisons to your dad, but then he has to get deal with comparisons to your dad and to you. So he's got twice the trouble nearly. In terms of, I know you already said, like in terms of comparisons and stuff, it doesn't really bother you, but do you understand that you had like a different nearly upbringing in football than maybe other players, and that you were in the limelight nearly before you kicked the ball?
Okay, yeah, no, especially when you're younger, you do realize it, like you know, men coming up to you and saying, "Are you going to be as good as your dad?" Different things like that there when you're young. But no, he doesn't put any pressure on me or Rory or the girls to do anything differently or to act any differently than who we are. So he's, you know, it's great to have him there for advice whenever you need it. But he doesn't force us to do anything or force us to be something we're not.
No, there's no better man, I'm sure. He actually seems to be even, he's not afraid to dig you out at all in the Sunday game sometimes as well. Have you ever
said to him about that actually? No, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
So there's no point in a bit of slagging. There's a bit of slagging about it, like, but I suppose that's part of it too. That's his job. He's supposed to pick out these things. So you can slag him what you want about it, but none of it's taken to heart too much now.
Oh, no, I think everyone understands that. It was funny, I was going through sports file photos before doing this interview, just getting things ready for articles and stuff. And 2003, I found one of yourself. God knows what age you would have been.
Three.
And Peter, when he was that all? So I'm just going to say, it's obviously him with the Sam Maguire. I was only 8 at the time, but I can still vaguely remember it. Like, but do you have any core memories of that, watching your dad and that your own team of 03, 05, 08?
I remember 05 and 08. 05 a wee bit. 08, I remember it clearly. I was really good age, you know. It was a stage we do start getting obsessed with that sort of stuff. But 05, I can't remember too much about it. I remember a bit of the Ireland final, and I actually remember him getting sent off against Armagh. It's a good memory to have, but not you. But you remember bits and pieces, and then you see the odd clip in YouTube and stuff too, as well. Like, so it's nice to be able to look back on them things too.
No, absolutely. And then obviously 2021, you made yourself a bit of history as well, and hopefully continue to do so. So last question for me, and it's just about next season. And Tyrone 2024, I know it's a little up in the air in terms of management and things like that, but would you say this Tyrone team, I'm going to say we, I'm from Tyrone, would you say we are in a period of transition where we need to expect patience with the team? Or do you think that this is all Ireland contenders, you know, like that's the level we're at?
It's hard to know. I think we showed enough glimpses this year to say that we can challenge. We can definitely challenge the best teams in the country, and we're a match for anybody on our day. It's just, I suppose, it's getting that consistency to do it in, you know, 3, 4, 5 championship games in a row, and being able to rattle off them wins. But I don't think we're too far off it now, to be honest. But it's that consistency, I suppose, that we're lacking at the minute. But you know, there's plenty of good footballers in thrown, and plenty of footballers coming through between the 17s and 20s and younger than that. So I think we're in a good place, and you know, there's no reason if we do sort out the consistency that we can't be thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear that's the right answer. That's what I wanted to hear anyway. Thank you so much, Dar. You've been an absolute gentleman. I really appreciate it.
No bother. Thank you.
Thanks again to Derek Yanovan for coming on to the show. Thanks to our sponsor, Sure 72 Yard Protection. Remember to like, share, and subscribe to the GAR, and we'll see you next week.
Listening to the GAA Hour, brought to you by Sports Joe and Sure. 72-hour non-stop protection, tested to the limits. Sure, it won't let you down.